Awesome, awesome, awesome. A nice, light Valentine's Day weekend message for you. My name is Anthony, for those of you who don't know me. Welcome, 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 as we kick off a brand new series today called Story. Shout out to those watching on live stream, listening on the podcast. Pastor Chris and a team are currently in Sierra Leone right now with a team working with one of our partners, World Hope International, as well as Enable the Children. They're doing some incredible stuff, and I cannot wait to hear the story. Yeah, give them a round of applause. They may be watching on live stream right now. That applause is for you guys and all the cool work they're doing. So I can't wait to hear about the stories that they're going to say when they get back. And you're in the brand new series called Story. And those of you who know me know I might be a little obsessed with stories. I love stories. I love hearing stories. I probably would like to thank my parents, who are no doubt watching on live stream right now, for reading me bedtime stories, sometimes the same one over and over and over again. It started my passion and love for stories. I loved creating stories. I still love creating stories. I love telling stories. I love stories so much that I got my undergraduate degree in theater. My first master's degree is in Shakespeare, which is why I now work at a church. And but I do. I love stories. I've always loved them, whether it be movies or television or something on stage. And I think we can get on the same page. I think everybody here loves a good story. You know, no matter how you feel about them, the Patriots last weekend, they told a great story. They did. They did. You be quiet. There's other story. That's all I'm saying. But, you know, in a couple of weeks, we've got the Academy Awards, and they're celebrating all the stories that have been told this year through movies. And we love a good story. We love a good comedic story. We love a good mystery story. We love a good dramatic story. You know, it's part of us. We love telling stories. We have stories that are memorable that we tell over and over again. Some stories are bad. Some people are bad storytellers. But listen, it's part of who we are to tell stories. There's conferences and books and blogs and movies written about personal narratives and about stories. We think about your own stories, the stories that you love in your life and the stories that you love to tell and the stories you love to hear. Or maybe it's your favorite movie or your favorite book or your favorite story or your favorite character. My favorite character of all time from any movies happens to be Indiana Jones. That's right. Then my wife's aunt got me this for Christmas, and I love it. I wear it around the house doing chores. It's great. It's the only time my wife will let me wear it. But I love this story so much. I used to love it as a kid. I still love the original trilogy, and I don't talk about the fourth one. But I loved the original three. I mean, Indiana Jones is, you know, all the fighting the bad guys and good overcoming evil, and Indiana Jones was always coming in and, you know, whipping people, and it was just great. I loved Indiana Jones. In fact, it had such an impact on me growing up that I told my parents one of the first things I wanted to be was an archaeologist. Then I found out what they really do, and I was like, I don't want to be an archaeologist. I dig outside in the heat, and I'm a sweater. But the point is that I was impacted by those movies. I was impacted by those stories. And I'm not going to wear this all day. But if you think about it, I mean, stories have an impact. They have a power. We have a response to stories. I mean, movies in general, they do a really good job of giving an emotional response. I mean, think about it. Like Jaws, I never wanted to go in the ocean again. Or Titanic, I didn't really feel like cruising ever. Or The Blair Witch Project, I'm never camping again. You know, like there's things like this where you have a response to them as a result of the stories that they tell. Or inspiring stories that just make us feel so inspired, like The Shawshank Redemption or Rudy. I mean, we love them all. We love them because they have a power. They have a power to inspire, to educate, to motivate, to incite change. And if you think about it, our lives, they come to us like a story. You know, they don't come to us like a math problem, but they come to us scene by scene. You know, one day it's 60 degrees out, and the next day it's a blizzard. you know, or one day we're madly in love, and then the next day he just picks up and leaves for no apparent reason. I mean, life unfolds like a drama. There's a beginning and an end, and there's all sorts of characters and all sorts of settings. Sometimes it's a comedy, sometimes it's a tragedy, sometimes it's a soap opera, but it's part of who we are. When we meet somebody, we're engaging in each other's stories, first dates, you know, we're swapping stories and letting people know who we are. You know, one of the coolest experiences I got to have this past fall when I lost my grandmother, I got to hear my grandfather tell the stories of the Korean War, and he would bring out his old books and show me stuff, and I mean, it lasted 3 hours, but it was incredible. I mean, to hear these stories that resonate with us and stick with us, and this is why when we meet somebody, you know, one of the first things we find and we want to find out is their story. Where are they from? What do they do? We want to hear people's stories. In fact, I have a couple friends who are Hawaiian, and when they first met me, you know, they said, "Hey, man, talk story," which means tell me your story. One of my favorite quotes is from Virginia Woolf, and it says, "In order to make you understand, to give you my life, I must tell you a story." And I know that each of us has a story to tell. The bad things that happen, the setbacks, the joy-filled moments, I mean, all of these are part of our story. We've shown stories at Hoboken Grace since the beginning because we know how important they are. If you go onto our website or you go onto our YouTube page, you can literally see years worth of people telling their story. And yet, many of us haven't shared our story. In fact, many of us, we don't know where to begin. I mean, there are many reasons we don't share our story. I mean, we're scared or we're nervous. Sometimes there's difficult and dark things in our story. Those things that carry pain and regret. Those things that we find ourselves saying, you know, if anyone finds out about this, what are they going to think of me? But everyone has a story, and they think they don't have a good story to tell. So first off, let's get this out of the way. Turn to the person next to you and say, "You have a story to tell." Now turn to that same person and say, "Tell me your story." Just kidding. That's it. I was like, and we're praying and we're done. No. But most people, many people here think they don't have a story to tell. People don't think that, you know, they can get on board that some people do. You know, they're like, "Oh, well, they definitely have a story." But they ask themselves, "What story do I have? And how do these stories unfold?" So before I came on board at Hoboken Grace full time, I worked in higher education in the city. And I worked in the admissions office. And I had a boss who was one of those bosses that just made you wonder why God created him, but I loved him eventually. But he was a tough guy to work with. Tough guy to work with. Not gonna lie. Tough guy to work with, and you know, wrote us, and it was tough, and made some bad decisions. But you know what? He was my boss. I was gonna respect him. I was gonna do what he told us to do, and you know, and you know, I never made it, you know, crazy that I, you know, was a Christ follower, but people knew that I was very involved at my church in the city, and people knew that I led a small group, and we used to be involved in children's ministry, and it was a big part of me, and I used to travel a lot, and I used to not like traveling on Sundays because I'd be missing out, and that was always kind of a constant conversation I had with my boss, and it wasn't, you know, I wasn't sitting there quoting scripture to him or anything, but he knew that it was a part of my life, and some things happened. I was there for 6 years, and unfortunately some things happened, and he was eventually let go, and I remember time passed by. It was probably a good 6 months to a year passed by, and I didn't know what happened to him. I hadn't really heard from him, and then out of the blue, he called me and says, "Hey, can we get a cup of coffee?" I said, sure, let's go. I guess. So I met him, very neutral coffee zone in the city, right next to the door in case I needed to run. And he told me how tough of a time he was having. Him and his wife were going through a divorce. He was worried about custody of his kid. And it was just a really dark time. And he said, Anthony, I didn't know who I could turn to. He's like, but I know you probably have God on speed dial. So could you pray for me? And it was just this moment where God was like, what are you going to do? Are you going to tell your story? Are you going to let your story affect him? Or are you going to turn your cheek? And you know, it was interesting. I prayed for him right then and there in that coffee shop. And he said, you know, I'm struggling right now to be able to, for 2 weeks, I'm between places to live right now. And my, you know, I don't get my new apartment because I'm moving out of where my wife and I are. And I don't get my new apartment for 2 weeks, so I don't really have a place to stay for 2 weeks. And I just felt God nudging me, and I was like, stop it. I was like, you shut up. And at the time, I was living a little bit further into Hoboken. It was a one-bedroom, and this was right before Dana and I actually had gotten married. And so I was living by myself in this apartment, and God was just like, you know, open up your couch to him. And I was like, no. but I found myself saying the words. I said, well, why don't you come and stay with me? And he's literally, these tears started to fill into his eyes. And he said, I thank you. It's not what I was here for, but thank you. And so the beginning of the odd couple began for 2 weeks of my life. It was insane. It was insane to watch this complete turnaround, to see this guy who I had no... At the beginning of my relationship with, I had wanted nothing to do with. And before you know it, we're sitting there, we're watching stupid television and laughing together. Now he's one of my dearest friends, and he's found a relationship with God. And it's all because God worked in my life. I have nothing to do with that story, trust me. If I had any way, shape, or form to do with it, he would have been outside. But God was there saying, you've been telling my story, and it has been affecting others around you, whether you know it or not. In fact, a couple months ago, we showed a story here about somebody who was wrestling with baptism, and they were wrestling with God calling them to take the step of baptism. And it was interesting to watch that, you know, that fight happened, and then ultimately they realized that God was calling them to take that step. As a result of that story, two people reached out to our family life team and said, that story's my story. I realize I need to get baptized too. And it's interesting. We see that, you know, some people have a story, and we can get on board with that, but for some reason, we hold on to ours. I mean, we come here, and maybe we serve on a team, and maybe we join a dinner group, but when it comes to letting people know what God is doing in our lives, we're hesitant. And I think it's because we have this wrapped upness about the pronoun, that it's your story, that it's our story. And what are people going to think of me as a result of this story? But listen, if you're in this relationship with God and you started to walk with him, it's no longer your story. It's his. It's his story. And here's the thing, guys. He knows our story. He knows our values. He knows our stories. And guess what? No matter what's in them, he can use them to bring glory to him. I was in a dinner group probably about a year. Oh, no, I guess it's almost 3 years now. I'm still in a dinner group. This just particular one was about 3 years ago. And there was a guy in the group who who was facing one of the biggest challenges of his life, that he was actually waiting for his sentencing to go to prison. And as the group, we tried to pray for him as much as we could and try to encourage him as much as we could, but none of us had ever gone to prison, so we didn't know how to really, you know, talk to him that way. And I'll never forget, somebody joined our group shortly thereafter, and it turned out that this gentleman had been in prison. And to watch the two of them share each other's stories and swap each other's stories, and to watch them encourage each other, and to watch them build into each other. And you know, unfortunately, this guy was sentenced, and he's going on his third year in prison. But you know what's crazy about it is that I just spoke to him last week, and as of now, while he's been in prison, God has used him to reach over 100 people for Christ. It's amazing to be able to see how God is working in the lives of people, even in some of the darkest situations. Last summer, I got this fortunate opportunity to be able to share my story during a series called The Fight, and it's online, and I encourage you to go back and watch it. But it was probably one of the most personal experiences that I've ever had, the opportunity to get up in front of you and on a live stream to be able to share my struggles and my past fears. And I really just kind of laid it all out there. Very nervous about how I would be perceived and whatever. But at the end of the day, till this day, I still have people coming up to me saying, that's my story too. And that your story had allowed me to be able to confront these challenges that I was going to, and that they're free now as a result of it. And again, that's not me. That is God's story in my life. And you may be thinking about your story, and you may be thinking about the things that you don't want anything to know about, but guess what? Jesus sat with prostitutes and tax collectors, and he knew their stories, and he also told stories of his own. That's why when we walk into this relationship with Christ, we hold on to this story, it's not that we're just not telling about our story. We're actually not telling God's story when we do that. When you decide, no, I can't tell my story, it's almost like you're saying, I can't tell God's story. I can't tell people about God. That's why it's crucial to tell his story. In fact, think about it. When you look at the word history, it's his story. It's what's happened to you, what we are experiencing is his story. I mean, think about it in your own lives. When we experience something amazing, what is one of the first things we do? We tell people, right? Oh, I had this incredible meal last night. Instagram it. You know? Oh, I went to this amazing concert. Here's a terrible illegal video. Oh, there's an amazing song. Let me share it with you. When we experience, we for some reason, we have no problem doing that, but when it comes to tell others about what God's doing in our life, it's not so easy. And yet, telling stories is something we do. I think those of us who have walked into this relationship with Christ and are walking with him can all agree that, yeah, it's good to be able to tell God's story. And I want to really be able to do that. I don't think there's anybody here that's in a relationship with God that's saying, I don't want to tell anybody about God. I would like to be able to do that, but it's part of our nature to be able to do that. Because here's the thing. Jesus says that it's that. Jesus says that when you walk into this relationship with me, you're going to want to tell the story. This is what it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It's one of the last words that Jesus says to his followers. It says, but you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, when you walk into this relationship with Christ, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So someone's coming, the Holy Spirit is going to lead you into the future, and here's what you do. Be my witness. Tell people about what's going on. All right, let's play a little, let's be in a little movie of our own, okay? So we're in a bank robbery right now. All right, the robber comes in, is like, everybody down. And you're like, ah, but he's not the brightest robber. He didn't cover his face, okay? He's like, ah, I don't care. And you get a good look at him. You go down because you don't want to get hurt, but you look at him. You're like, oh, I see you, right? And then the cop comes around afterwards and says, who's got a good look at him? And you're like, I got a good look at him. And he's like, all right, come over here. We got a witness. And so the witness goes in and you sit there and you testify in court and you point him out and you're like, that's the man. And he's like, ah, and then you send him away. You were a witness. That's the movie right there for you. Congratulations. But you are a witness to that. And those of you who know me know I love definitions. And so what's a witness? A witness is one who has seen or heard something and testifies or tells about it. And this is what Jesus says. He says, you will be my witness. And it's interesting the fact that he says, like, you know, he doesn't really say it as a command. You know, you're going to, you know, you better be my witness. No, he says, you will be my witness. It's very, you know, when the Holy Spirit comes into my life, you're going to be my witness. These words are indicative. It's going to be a part of our nature to be a witness. It's part of our nature to tell stories. It's part of our nature to identify with stories. And that's why we have something in our hearts, in our very existence that is drawn to these stories. Because listen, most of the stories that we hear this day and age are almost the exact same stories. I teach the story class at Amplify, and I teach it based upon as if it was a screenwriting class. And I think it's because we go to the movies because we hope to find in someone else's story something that will help us to understand our own, right? I mean, we read books, we listen to these stories because we hope to find in someone else's story something that will help us to understand our own. And do you ever notice that the stories have the same ingredients? They have the same basic stuff. There's a hero, there's a villain, and there's a crisis. Think about your favorite movies. Think about all of them. Things were once good. Then something awful happens, evil bursts into the scene, now a great battle must be taken or a journey must be taken, and at the right moment, and sometimes it feels like the last possible moment, the hero swoops in and sets things right again. Think about it. Every fairy tale, every western, every, you know, everything, the Lord of the Rings, right? The Avengers, all 30 Star Wars movies, same story. Same story. Something bad happens, and then things were once good, something bad happens, and then the hero needs to set it right. Why? Why is that the same with everything that we do? Because every story, great or small, shares the same essential structure, because every story we tell borrows itself from a larger story. The structure of that is something we resonate with. And somehow the story is more than just a work of some clever screenwriter, but that there is something more universal, something more eternal, something more massive about this story, because ultimately it's the story of human existence. It's the story we love to hear over and over again because it's part of who we are. I mean, if you look at scriptures, that's essentially what the story of scripture is. The entire Bible is that things were once good, but something terrible happens and there's a crisis and effort after effort and mission after mission to address the wrong seems to just fail in one way, shape, form, or another until the hero shows up and makes everything right. There's a hero, there's a villain, and a crisis. And in your story, there's all three as well. And here's the interesting thing about it, though. Sometimes we make the mistake of viewing the crisis as the villain. It actually isn't. In the story that I'm telling, the villain is us. The villain is me. I was broken. I was selfish. I was living for all these meaningless things. I used to find my identity in people over God. And I used to bend the rules sometimes because I wanted people's approval over God's approval. I struggled with drugs. I had a terrible relationship with food for the longest time, and I was overwhelmed by the future, and I wasn't who I wanted to be. A villain isn't the problem. We're the villains. And remember, it's his story. We're telling his story. If you look at what it says in Romans 5:10, it says, "For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son." For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son, God restored us through Jesus, while we were still his enemies, so we were the villains prior to that, we will certainly be saved because of the hero through the life of Jesus Christ. We were walking away, destroying what he built, but for all of us, the underlying problem, and some of you here are on that journey right now, you didn't know how to change, or you don't know how to change. You couldn't find anything meaningful, or you can't find anything meaningful. You were terrified, or you are terrified what's around the corner. You're living your life trying to prove yourself, or you're crying yourself to sleep tonight thinking about who you're going to become. And it's into that problem, that exact problem, that the hero steps in. The hero steps in and he says, "You don't have to carry that anymore. You don't have to do that anymore. You don't have to care about that anymore. I found myself caring about others again. I found meaning. I found purpose. I don't need that to feel valued anymore. I don't need that to feel loved anymore." And you see, when I started to tell people about what God was doing in my life, I didn't have to worry about how it was going to make me look. Because it wasn't my story, it was his. And I'll tell you one thing, when you allow God to redeem you and save you, he doesn't just redeem your life, but he redeems your story. And when it's his story is being told, then it can begin working in the lives of other people. One of my titles here is Director of Outreach at Hoboken Grace, and I have a passion for seeing people come to know God. I really, really do, because I know what it's like to have a life-changing experience once you walk into this relationship with Christ. I walked into this relationship with Christ in August of 2005, and it has seriously been one of the most amazing roller coasters of my life. And I love seeing people, but here's the thing. I had nothing to do with that. And ask anyone who knew me prior to walking into this relationship with Christ, if you told them that I was in full-time ministry now, most of their jaws drop. And let me ask you a question. Who is it that saves people? Is it people? Or is it God? It's God, right? So, if you're worried that when somebody hears your story about God is doing in your life, you're thinking it's not going to make a difference. But I'm here to tell you that anything with God can make a difference. You just have to be willing to tell it. "Well, Anthony, that's all fine and good, but I'm not even sure I believe this whole God thing. I'm not sure what I feel about it." Hey, listen, you're here, aren't you? You've gotten this far. He's still pursuing you. He's still writing your story. And chances are you're here because someone shared their story with you. Here's a staggering statistic. 90% of people said why they came to church. Why? Because of personal invitation. 90% of people say they came because somebody cared enough about them to invite them to come. Chances are you're here today because someone cared enough about you to share their story and invite you. Because ultimately, inviting someone, personal invitations, is the number one reason why people came. And guess what? That's part of your story too. Hey, you should come with me to church on Sunday. Why? Because it's fun. Why? They have bagels. Sold. It's part of your story to be here, that you came, someone said, I love this person enough, my life has been changed, I want their life to be changed too. Folks, your story is not only the easiest way to tell others about who Jesus Christ is, but it's also the most effective. It's not only the easiest way to let people know who Jesus is, but it's also the most effective. And some of you come to me, you know, I've been teaching story now for a few years, and you've talked to me, and you're like, oh, I feel like I don't know enough to tell to my story. You know, I'm not like you. I didn't go to seminary. I don't, you know the Greek. No, you don't need to know that in order to tell your story. It's your story. Here's a great example. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, all right, there's a story that you might be familiar with. There's a guy, Jesus is doing his work in Israel, and he comes across this man who has for years has been literally fighting demons, right? He's living out in the woods, he's living in tombs, he's screaming, he's crying, he's you know, he's kind of the guy that's out there that frightens everybody. It says he cuts himself. I mean, he's literally fighting his demons. And if you think about it in your own life, when you're fighting demons, what do? You pull away. You isolate yourself. And that's exactly what this guy was doing. He was pulling away. He was isolating himself. And he was literally fighting. And then Jesus comes in contact with him. And Jesus heals him. And Jesus literally changes this man's life. And if you think about it, this entire village, this entire town knew about this guy in the woods. They said, don't go in there. There's this guy out there, frightening guy. We don't want anything to do with him. Then Jesus comes into his life, literally heals this man of his demons. And this is what he says. This is how he responds. Mark chapter 5, verse 18 says this. And Jesus was getting into the boats. He was getting ready to leave. And the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. But Jesus said, no. Go home to your family. And tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he's been. So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he had told them. Jesus says, I want you to go and tell people what I did in your life. Think about it. Think about what that town must have felt when they saw this guy coming. This is a man who has been literally scaring everybody and hurting himself and pulling away. Who knows if his parents were still there or his family was still there. And they came back and they saw this guy who had been healed by Jesus and saying, wow, this guy literally had his life changed because he came in contact with Christ. And interesting, this is really early in Jesus' ministry. You could argue that this is the first missionary in the New Testament. Go tell people what God is doing in my life. We're doing that. We have a verse of the series. Our memory verse for the series comes from Psalm 96, and it's written by King David. And I think if anybody has something in their past that's dark, it's the story of King David. I love the story of David because it demonstrates God's great, great love for us, even in the midst of failure. And he writes, publish his glorious deed among the nations and tell everyone about the amazing things that he does. Now, here's what I want you to do. There should be a note card on your seat right now attached to the connection card with a lovely paperclip there. Go ahead and pull this out. On the back of the seats in front of you, there's pens, unless you got a pen when you came in. But I want you to write down this question. What is God doing in my life right now? Write it down. I see some of you not doing it. I will stand at that door and check paper, people. What is God doing in my life right now? In what ways do you see God working? In what ways do you see God stepping in? In what ways do you see God rescuing you? And now here's what we're doing over the next couple of weeks. Something really special. On the fourth floor, today, right now, we have our video team and our stories team ready to capture your story of what God is doing in your life right now. Most of you just went, huh. I know. Listen, I know. I know what it's like. But right now, throughout this whole experience, every time you watch a video, every time you hear me speak of story, there might be a little nudge. You know how that's how I think God communicates with me a lot, is through nudges. Sometimes it's about taking the step of baptism, but maybe God is nudging you right now. Listen, you need to tell this story. You have gone long enough without telling the story. You need to tell the story. And I'm asking you right now, adhere to that nudge. We said that song about drowning out all the other voices and hearing God. Listen to what he is saying. And he's saying, tell this story. Go tell the story. We have somebody up there to work with you so that you can, you know, that you'd have somebody to work off of. Go up there. Tell your story. Do not miss the opportunity to do this, because here's the truth. If you forget everything that I've said today, remember this. Your story has the power to change lives. It does. And I know it's nerve-wracking. Most people don't like the way they look on video. I was on a national TV show in my boxers. I understand. Don't go Googling it, people. Don't miss an opportunity to go public with your faith. This gives people the opportunity. Most people don't get an opportunity to do this. And when you share your story on video, you are giving people the opportunity to experience God in a way that you have no idea. Don't rob us of that opportunity. By sharing your story of what God is doing in your life, you're giving us the opportunity for our faith to grow bigger as well. By sharing your story, and here's this, and here's what I can promise you. Somebody is going to hear your story one day. Somebody's going to see your story one day, and you're not going to know who they are. But your story is going to have such an impact on their lives that when they start to tell their story, they're going to tell your story as part of it. So right now, if there's that nudge inside of you, don't ignore it. Go to the elevator. They will literally take you up there and tell your story. Don't wait on it any longer. We're going to be doing this over the next couple of weeks, giving people the opportunity to tell the story of what God is doing in your life. And listen, it may not be shown here, but you know what? That's not the point. The point is that you are getting better at telling your story of what God is doing in your life. Don't miss this opportunity. Because when we take time to listen, and let me tell you something, if you look at the world today, we need to hear each other's stories. We need to hear how God is working in the lives of individuals. Your story has the potential not just to transform you, but it literally has the capability to serve a greater purpose, and that is God's purpose for your life and impact the lives of the people around you. Do not miss this opportunity to change a life by sharing what God is doing through you. That is my prayer. I'm going to pray for you. The band's going to come up. We're going to worship together. And then I want to encourage you at any time, go tell your story. If you have questions, I'll be right there. I can't wait to see what God is going to do through you. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for stories. Thank you for telling your story. That's ultimately what your story is all about. The scriptures is one long love story to humanity. About us turning our back on you, but you stopping at nothing to bring us back, to pull us back. Through everything, you call us back to you. And so, Father, my prayer today is for everybody that's listening, whether it's online, watching us, or hearing us in this space right now, that they're going to adhere to that nudge, that they're going to feel that nudge, that they're going to know that nudge comes from you, and that you just can't take it anymore. That they have to let people know what you are doing in their life. Tell the story. Father, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing in the life of our family. Thank you for working. We give this to you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.